व्याप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रम् अथ बलम् इन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु अनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Anybody has Vivek Chodamani book? You have? Yes, yeah, okay. As long as it has the text, that's all I need. संसाधनसम्पन्नः शास्त्रस्य गुरुवाक्यस्य अर्थस्य निश्चय उद्दिष्टि preparation, moral and spiritual preparation required for inquiring into the nature of reality. They are quite stringent and well defined in the scriptures, because inquiry into the nature of reality, which is subtle, formless, attributeless reality, it requires the mind to be clear and free from blemishes such as lust, anger, greed, etc. So the preparations, the preparatory steps required to be done before starting the study of Atma Vichara, such a book such as Vivek Chudamani, they are defined in the scriptures, and we saw some of them yesterday. Patanjali's Yama Yama, 10 rules in the Yoga Sutras. Bhagavad Gita has various chapters, it has given the disciplines, but notably in the 17th chapter, three kinds of austerities: Shariram tapaha, Vangmayam tapaha, Manasam tapaha. Then in much detail in the Viveka Chudamani, we went through all of that, fourfold discipline, Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sadhana Chatushtayam means group of four disciplines. Viveka Vairagya, Samadhi Shat Sampatti. Sampatti means wealth. This is real spiritual wealth. If you have these disciplines, if you practice this, then it is good, it is real wealth. It doesn't go once it is acquired. Samadama, Titiksha, Uprati, Shraddha, Samadhana, six of them. And fourth one is Mumukshutvam, a strong desire for liberation. This has to be a strong desire. If it is mild or moderate, then it will take a long time. We are prone to be distracted by diversions. We have mumukshatvam, but if it is not very strong, then any small diversion is enough to distract us, and we'll make a detour from our spiritual journey. We waste a lot of time. Then eventually we'll come back, because mumukshatva is there, it will draw us back. But if the mumukshatvam, desire for liberation, is very strong, then we will not waste any time in distractions. So these disciplines, Sri Ramakrishna gave a parable. He he told a parable to describe how strong this mumukshutvam must be. In a Gurukulam, the teacher used to instruct the students in all these things, Veda, Vedanta, and all those shastras. And then one of the boys one day asked a question. This is a parable, so it is just a story meant to illustrate a point. The student asks the teacher, "Sir, I have been attending your class for a long time and doing all the exercises. Still I have not seen God. When do I see God?" Smile. He didn't answer the question. He simply asked the boy to follow him. The teacher goes, walks towards the pond. There was a lake nearby. And the boy follows him. Teacher asks him to follow him. And when they approach the lake, the teacher holds the boy's hand and walks into the water. The boy has to go because his hand, firm teacher is firmly holding his hand. Little boy. Then the teacher keeps walking into the water. The water came to the waist level of the teacher, there's some neck level of the student. The teacher is afraid, the boy is afraid. What is he going to do now? Suddenly, without warning, the teacher presses the boy's head and keeps it firmly under the water for 5-10 seconds. The boy is struggling. Then the teacher releases the boy's head and the boy lifts his head up from the water and he is relieved, he can breathe. Then the teacher asks him the question, "When your head was under the water, what were you thinking? What did you want?" The student said, "The only thing I was thinking when you kept my head under water was, when am I going to be able to breathe, get outside the water? At that time, if you give any toys, Nintendo or any such toy or cheesecake or something, it is not going to make, he doesn't want it, he will push it, he wants to breathe. The only thing he wants to do, he wants nothing else. Nothing else distracts him or attracts him." So the teacher said, "If you have that much exclusive, intense desire to see God, immediately you will see God. Now we want to see God, we want to do other things too. Our mumukshutva is there, otherwise we would not be doing anything. We are studying these things. You do some prayer every day, you study scriptures, Swami said. So there is mumukshutva definitely. But it has to be intensified. How to intensify the mumukshutva? It is there, otherwise we would not be discussing mumukshutva at all. Because we have mumukshutva, we are discussing about it. So there is one verse, does it have an index? It says, it gives the method of intensifying mumukshutva if it is not strong. It doesn't seem to be. No, this has index, good. The first line index is helpful if you know how it is. I know sloka begins, manda madhyama rupapi. Vairagyena samadhina tata bhavama. Okay, 28. Verse 28, Vekudamani, Shankaracharya says, how to intensify the mumukshutva if it is medium or mild. Manda-madhyama-rupapi vairagyena samadhina prasadena guroseyam pravriddha suyate phalam. Manda means mild. Madhyama means moderate, medium. Manda-madhyama-rupapi. If the mukshatva is mild or moderate, it can be made, it can be intensified. It can be intensified and made to bear fruit. How? Two things have to be done. Vairagyena samadhina. three things. Practicing Vairagya, Samadhamadi Shakti Sampatti. This we have, but not strong enough. So we have to work on the other things. Vairagya we have to intensify, Samadhamma we have to master. When we do these things, plus prasadena guroho, by the grace of the Guru, ayam mumukshita pravriddha bhavati, it becomes, it grows in strength. Phalam soyate, bears fruit. What is the fruit of mumukshita? Moksha.
Yeah.
Moksha is the result of mumukshitva. If your mumukshitva is so strong, then moksha is imminent. So that is verse 28. How to intensify this now. Now I will give you reference and I will leave the topic. With the first one, Viveka begins in Shloka Sodhanana Chattvari, Shloka 18. 18 to where does it end? Sarvada sthapanam buddhe. 18 to 30. How many? 13 verses. In those 13 verses you can see all these definitions, all of Sagara Chatushtayam. So when you have time, if you are interested, you can study Goswami.
Before the Sadhana Chatushtayam, do we need to understand the Anubandha Chatushtayam?
That's for all books.
Okay.
Not only for Anubandha Chatushtayam. Whenever you are studying a particular book, like Vivek Chudamani or Bhagavad Gita or any book, Yoga Sutras, Narada Bhakti Sutra, before you start any one book for study, then we have to do Anubandha Chatushtayam. Anubandha Chatushtayam is Vishaya, Prayojana, Adhikara, Sambandha. Briefly, Anubandha Chatushtayam means four. This is, you can see, any book if you buy, start reading, it can be a textbook on physics or biology or mathematics or history or sociology or computer science, any book if you see, there is a preface or there is an introduction. And either are a foreword, preliminary matter. In those things, in the foreword, somebody else writes the foreword, usually other than the author. Preface, usually author writes or someone else writes. Introduction is always written by the author. In the introduction or preface or foreword, these are the Anubandha Chatushtaya is given for all books without exception. Given. What does it mean? What is a subject matter? Usually title indicates a subject for non-fiction. So in Vishaya means what is the subject? The subject matter of Vivek Chudamani is Atma Vichara, knowledge of the self. Viveka, not more specifically Viveka. How to cultivate, what is Viveka, how to cultivate it? Vishaya. What is the Adhikara? Adhikara means qualification. Who is eligible to study this book? Somebody who has already studied some introductory books on Vedanta, only that person can benefit from this book. This is not the first book that you study. When you start studying the Vedanta, you should have studied some simpler books, at least some parts of Bhagavad Gita, before you study the Chodamani. This should not be studied first before studying other books. So Adhikara means somebody who is eligible, who will get the maximum benefit by studying this book. Some people who have studied the following books. Prerequisite courses before you take this course. When you give course description, you give the following courses should have been taken before you. You can take the course without prerequisite, but you won't benefit from it. Not useful. So that is Adhikara, Sambandha, Vishaya, Adhikara. Then the third thing is Sambandha. And the third thing is Prayojana. Prayojana means what benefit will you get? The objectives. when you study this book, you will be able to solve partial differential equations, you can do basic conditions. In mathematics book, or calculus book, you will have all those objectives. This is at the graduate level, or this is the senior, suitable for senior undergraduate courses. Like this, it will prayojana who and what benefit will get, what end objectives are from this study of this book. That is prayojana. The last one is sambandha. Sambandha means in what way does this book enable you to reach the goals stated in the prayojana. How does it help you? It will help you to understand the fundamentals of this like this thing, right? Anubandha chalashti. Yes, you have to do these things when you start studying any book. Okay. So we have seen anubandha chatushtaya, we have seen sadhana chatushtaya. Sadhana chatushtaya is this is the one that we studied in detail. We have to practice this. We should have practiced this before studying Upanishad. We should have studied Bhagavad Gita before studying Upanishad, but we assume that you have finished or you are studying concurrently. Concurrently, if you study also, that is good. But if you ask me, my opinion, for me, if you study the 2nd and 13th chapter of the Gita fairly well, then you are ready to study any Upanishad and Vivekchudamani also. Definitely 13th chapter and 2nd chapter of the Gita. Okay. Now we got the reference 18 to 30. This is. Can be.
Shadavan. Where does
Tattva Bodha fit in this? Tattva Bodha is introductory. You can start it at the beginning.
Okay.
It's a beginning text. But not Atma Bodha.
Mm-hmm.
Atma Bodha is not beginning text. Tattva Bodha is mostly a series of definitions and basic ideas. That is a good book to start with.
Well, that one is also considered as Prakarana Grantha.
All of these are Prakarana Granthas, except Upanishads.
Mm-hmm.
Derived textbooks, derivatives, secondary books, explanatory books. Anything else before we start a new passage? We will do, we did 20-21 yesterday. We will do the next section. The self is to be known, and the following section, self is the target the self. So we will do 22 to 26, pages 6 and 7. So 22 is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Oh, this we studied yesterday.
Yes.
Maitreyi, Yajnavalkya says, Atmava are drashtavyaha, srotavyaha, mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyo Maitreyi. Atman has to be known, realized. Atman has to be realized, not known theoretically, but experienced. How? Three steps. Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. To do those three things, these are the prerequisites. That's how we came to this topic. Then what happens? What is the result? Atmano va are darshanena, shravanena, matya vijnanena. If you do all these things, then what happens? Idam sarvam viditam. Idam means what?
This
whole. This, what is the meaning of the world? Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Who sustains it? Where does it go? What is the nature of this world? Everything will become clear, will be known if you know Brahman. If you don't know Brahman, then no matter how much you study about the nature of the world from the outside, you can get, at best you can get fragmentary information. So that is the 22nd passage, very nice passage. It's a longer passage, this is a part of it. 23, this is from Mundaka Upanishad. Know that self alone, that is one without a second, on which are strung heaven, the earth and the inner space, the mind and the vital forces together with all the other organs. Give up all other talks. This is the bridge to immortality. This has instructions. yasmin dyau prithivi cha antariksham o tam manaha saha pranaischa sarvaihi. Manaha pranaischa saha, along with mind and the pranas, the sky and earth and in the heavens, all are contained in Otam Protam means, you heard that one?
Yes, Maharaj.
What does it mean?
It's like the mustard oil, how it's inside the mustard
seed.
All pervading. If you take a piece of cloth, a plain piece of cloth, take handkerchief, which is easier to illustrate what the meaning of Otaprota is, a very special term. You take a piece of cloth like this one. Now, what it is just strings, this yarn, cotton yarn. Cotton yarn, some yarns going in a horizontal line like this, if it is like this, and some yarns going in a vertical line like this. So if you remove all the yarn, what happens to the cloth? Cloth is the is the yarn. And what makes the yarn into cloth? Their formation, particular configuration, warp and woof. Now, world is the Brahman is the warp and woof of the, this is the world. What is the reality of the world? There is no cloth other than yarn. So there is no world other than Brahman. Brahman, all these are simply appearance only. Cloth is the illusion, only we are seeing the yarn. Even you see a golden ring, what do you see? You call it a ring. But actually what are you seeing?
Gold.
It's only gold. Is the name and form superimposed on it? It gives the appearance of a separate object, but you're actually looking only at gold. Where is the gold? Wherever the ring is, there it is. It gold on the name and form is just the appearance, and gold is the reality. So all these things, parts of only a few parts are listed. The infinite parts in nature. So the few parts listed are the heaven, the earth, the interspace, the mind, the vital forces with all other organs, all the beings, animals and plants and things and planets and stars and galaxies and atoms and ants and birds and whatever you want to list, you can list, make as big a list as you want. All of them are nothing but Brahman, but they appear like that because they have a specific name and form. Each has a name and form. The essence of all of this is Brahman itself. Now, to know that one, what we have to do? We have to do two things. We have to become free from all distractions. Three kinds of distractions we saw yesterday. What are the three kinds of distractions? Shankara mentions Lokanuvartanam, concern about the world, what everybody is doing, what's happening, news and gossip. Then Dehanuvartanam, concerned about the body, care of the body, comfort of the body, what food to eat, what clothes to wear, what movies to see. Third one is, if there is time, Shastranuvartanam, excessive preoccupation with scholarly pursuit of scriptures. Just like reading the recipe book and memorizing it, not doing anything. Remember that gentleman who got the message from his friend to send one pair of dhoti and some sandesh. Every day he reads it 108 times and frames it and puts flowers, never goes to the bazaar market and buys it. That poor man is waiting there, oh, my friend is going to send me. That we should not do. We should read it, read the scriptures and act upon it. That's why there is a book called Sadhana, not a book, it's a hymn called Sadhana Panchakam. We are studying that in Maryland series.
We had a retreat on that.
Chaganji did. Yeah, these Sunday's talks We had 9 talks already, and we only finished 16 instructions. There are 40 instructions. So I told our Swami Atmagandhi, he makes the monthly bulletin. For the rest of my life, I don't have to think about a Sunday topic. Because every month I have to give him 1 or 2 topics. He said, what's your topic for August, September? Now for the rest of my life, I don't have to worry about the same topic will continue. So detailed. In one class, in one Sunday service, 1 hour, only one instruction we can cover. So 40 hours of Sunday talks I have material. So Sadhana Panchakam, Shankaracharya composed a hymn. Panchakam means what?
Five.
A hymn containing five stanzas. Shatkam means what?
Six.
Which hymn has 6 stanzas?
No,
Ashtakam, no, Shatkam. Shat means 6.
Nirvana
Shatkam. Nirvana Shatkam. Panchakam means 5 hymns. Sadhana Panchakam. Nirvana Shatkam. Then Ashtakam means?
8.
A hymn containing 8 stanzas. Which is an example of Ashtakam?
Shivashtakam.
Just now you said. Okay. Now you get the general idea. Hmm? How these titles are derived. Sadhana Panchakam has 40 instructions, 40, in 5 stanzas. That means each stanza has 8 instructions. 2 instructions are, the first instruction is how it begins, Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam. Every day you have to study the Veda. Veda means Upanishad, by implication, scriptures, or Bhagavad Gita, or some book, Vedanta book of your choice. Every day you have to study Swadhyaya. Then we don't stop there. Second instruction is Taduditam Karma Svanushtiyatam. The instruction, the actions, karma, enjoined in the scriptures has to be Anushtiyatam, is put into practice. If without putting into practice, simply reading is Shastranuvartanam, it's a big distraction. So we should not be distracted by all these things, including merely studying the scriptures. Now, give up all other talks, it says, coming back to Mundaka 225, last but one line on page 6. Shankara says, give up all other talks, including too much talk about scriptures. What is important? Putting the instructions given in the scriptures into practice. An ounce of practice is better than a pound of theory, simply. So that is the instruction. Swami Vivekananda quoted this, Anya vacho vimunchatha. Anya vacha means all other speech. Vimunchatha, give up. Atmanam vai vijanatha. Atmanam alone you have to know. You can know other things, but what is important, consequential, is knowledge of Atma. Atmajnana is important. Knowledge of the world is important. To some extent, it is necessary. Aparavidya is necessary. But that is not complete. Paravidya has to be known. Knowledge of self. Atma anya vacho vimunchatha. Atmanam vai vijanatha. This is the bridge to immortality. This means Atman, knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self is the bridge to immortality. Amrtatvasya, amrtasya esha setuhu. Setu means
bridge.
Setu means bridge. Amrtasya setu, bridge to immortality. From the mortal existence at the physical, material, body, mind level, we are transported to the region of immortality, where we realize our immortal divine nature. Otherwise we permanently get anchored, fixed in the mortal, ever-changing physical world. What is the nature of the physical world?
Transient.
Always changing, undependable, and full of suffering. Who says so? Says who?
Buddha.
Other than that, who else says?
And
earlier than Buddha, who said?
Oh, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan.
What did he say?
Dukkha Vayam Shashvata.
Where does he say?
Gita, Bhagavad Gita.
Which chapter, which sloka?
One is 717.
Concordance. 880. Next time bring the concordance, somebody.
880.
Two places he says. The person, the Lord who created this universe, he knows more about it than any of us do. He himself admits that this world is dukkha layama shashvatam napnuvanti mahatma dukkha layama shashvatam.
Very nice one. He creates the world.
And what are we trying to do? We are trying to find happiness in it. He says dukkhalaya means house. Dukkhalaya means house of misery. Ashashvatam means temporary, ever changing, not dependable. He says that, who says he is the one who created it? And we are trying to find happiness and permanence in it. Will it ever work?
No.
Therefore, what we have to do? We have to find something unchanging, eternal, infinite, which is our intrinsic nature. That's why in the Mundaka Upanishad, Rishi says, Anya Vajavi, don't waste time saying, find looking for happiness in this world. We'll never be able to find it. If you say that with Vedanta as a negative philosophy, always crying, oh, dukkha, dukkha, like this, kill joy, like this, they will say. But that is the fact. You can enjoy as much as you want in the world. Nobody prevents you. Kama is a legitimate purusharta, dharma artha, kama moksha. Go ahead and enjoy. But realize it's temporary, ever changing. And it, fine? Which sloka?
850. Mamo pitta punarjanma.
Dukkha alayama
shashvatam.
Okay, 850. Make a note of that. When you have time, you study. Then next chapter you are going to study. Next, you study that sloka, other slokas.
Swamiji, did you say that even scholarly knowledge of the scriptures is also apara?
Yeah, what happens, like all other scholarly knowledge, it will bring you temporary name and fame, some benefits, but no experience. What is important is experience. Knowledge of recipe is very good, but what gives you, what has the cake? Otherwise you will become masters in the recipe recitation. In French also you can recite everything, all the recipes you know by heart. But where is the cake? So, merely scholarly pursuit, scholarly knowledge of scriptures is not, it's some knowledge of scriptures is necessary to know what scriptures say. But there it ends. Sri Ramakrishna says, if you take an almanac, the almanac predicts when it is going to rain. But almanac has not even a drop of water in it. The rain has to come. So practice is necessary. In the sadhana panchakam, the hymn begins with these two instructions. That's how important it is. First two instructions. Vedo nityam adhiyatam taduditam karma svanushtiyatam. Anushtanam is putting into practice what we study. That is important. That's what brings results. So here, Mundaka Upanishad, give up all other talks, futile. Interesting, but in the long term, useless. All talk about the world, what everybody is doing, what the food and conversation and stock market and cars and sports and celebrity trivia, so many television shows, all these things are interesting when you are watching, but in the end, what does it add up to? You have wasted a lot of time and energy which you could have fruitfully used for pursuit of the Atman. Anya vacho vimunchate. Remember this Swamiji quoted these two lines in one of his lectures. Swami Vivekananda quoted. He says, Anya vacho vimunchatha atmanam vai vijanatha. Know the Atman. Give up all other talks. When neighbors meet, I'm talking only about what I saw in my family, in my mother. After everybody goes to school and office, and the next house lady. They stand on either side of the compound and what I thought, did you eat and what did you make? And she will say what she cooked for her husband and children. My mother will say what she cooked for her family and they will exchange recipes and all those things. And this all anya vacho vimuncha. Little bit of relaxation because those days there was no electricity. Cooking was a very difficult task. Water had to be pulled from the well. There was no tap. There was no hot water. Everything had to be done. Lot of hard work to prepare a little meal so much for. Now it is easy. So the energy conserved by cutting down all unnecessary preoccupation with unnecessary things. Interesting but unnecessary, not unproductive. That's lokanuvartanam tyaktva atmanam vai vijanatha. Concentrate, use all your energies, deploy all your energies and time and resources to know the Atman. That is the one thing we have to do in life. Other things as much as possible. Okay, that's anya vacho vimanchatha. This is what is the importance of Atmajnana? Amrutasya esha setuhu. This is the bridge to immortality. Otherwise, we will forever be stuck in this mortal world. Yan martyam tadalpam. Sanat Kumara says to Narada, na alpe sukhamasti. In the ever changing finite world, there is no sukha. Bhumaiva sukham. The infinite alone is sukha. So seek that one. Bhumatveva vijignasitavya. Bhuman alone has to be pursued, it has to be known. Okay?
The problem, Swamiji, is, you know, in a culture like this where you go to work and if you don't socialize with people, you will be considered as, just focus only on work and not engage in this kind of trivial conversation.
Trivial pursuits.
You will be labeled as antisocial. That's what qualifies as having people skills. I think that's the hardest part is to juggle, you know, to where the boundary is to
Do a little bit, for sure.
For sure.
If there is a party, if there is a party, you go there. If you don't go to any party, then you will, as you said, you go to party, then one side they will have the spiked drinks, other side they have Coke. Then take some Coke and some potato chips and everything. Say hello to 4 or 5 people, put your presence there, and slowly, when everybody is busy, slowly slip out. So you have done both.
Shown the face. Shown the face.
Yeah. People, make sure some people notice you, key people notice you, say hello to them. Tread the middle path.
Tread the middle
path. Yeah. Okay, let us go to 24. This one is Shvetashatra Upanishad. The one destroyer, 24 on page 7, the one destroyer of ignorance in the midst of this universe, he alone is the fire which is stationed in water. Realizing him alone, one overcomes death. There is no other path for emancipation. This verse, on the next verse, 25, also ends in the same way. There is no other way of escaping from the cycle of births and deaths. Nanya pantha vidyate ayanaya. Swami Ranganathananda was fond of this line.
It's fine. It's cooker.
Pressure cooker? Okay. In his lectures, he would say, This second 25th verse he quoted many times. When he attended his lectures, I helped him quote this and in his lectures printed also. Vedahametam purusham. He would say it with such a great enthusiasm and flair. It was so pleasing to hear that, listen to that. Vedahametam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasah parastat. Tameva viditva atimrityameti nanya pantha vidyate ayanaya. it was such a thrilling experience to even to listen to him saying these words. So he said, there is no other way to do what? To achieve immortality. Other than what? Other than knowing the truth, Brahma. The only way to reach immortality, permanent peace and joy that nothing can shake, freedom from all adversity, no matter how severe, that is to know the Self. Atma-jnana, knowledge of the Self, is the only way. How you achieve it? There are diverse ways to achieve it. We are not limiting the paths. You can practice any religion, any faith, any path, any yoga, whatever you, that's your choice, but you have to achieve that goal. That is the bridge to immortality. Amrtasya esha setuhu. Then why is Vedanta all the time crying, oh, this world there is no happiness, there is dukkha in this world, always negative, saying things. Buddha also said, this world is full of suffering, this and that. Is Vedanta such a negative philosophy? Or is there some...
No, shows hope out of this misery.
Vedanta sets its sights very high. We are not satisfied with temporary passing pleasures which satisfy the senses for a short time but will not give lasting contentment, lasting peace and joy, will not give freedom from suffering. We want the kind of joy that is unending, eternal, and more than anything else, unconditional and infinite. The joy that we get in the world is conditional. That you know from your study of the Gita, where does Sri Krishna say that the happiness that this world gives is highly conditional and is temporary. Which shloka? Chapter 5. Shloka 22. This is very important shloka. That explains why Vedanta harps on the suffering aspect of human life. Shloka 22 in chapter 4. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Buddha means what?
Wise man.
Wise person. Buddhiman. A wise person teshu bhogeshu naramate does not take any delight in worldly pleasures. Money, fame, wealth and beauty, position and power and all those things. If it comes, you don't shun them, you welcome them, enjoy them, but don't depend on them. Don't become attached to them because they are going to leave you. Or you will have to leave them or they will leave you. So don't count on them. You don't have to shun them, you don't have to hate. Enjoy, if they come, if they leave, I knew, I'm prepared, I'm ready. No attachment. Why is this? Sri Krishna gives two reasons. First is the kind of happiness that comes from worldly possessions and enjoy and dependent. To enjoy something, you must have it. To enjoy family life, you must have a good family. So you start a family. Generally things go on all right, but there is no guarantee. You may have three wonderful children, one of them may become the president. You thought he would become a senator, he became the president, exceeds your expectations. Other one becomes a very famous trial lawyer, a third one ends up in jail. It happened to a family, you know, exactly like that. Three children they had. Two children are quite normal, slightly above average, they are studying in college, finished college, getting job, everything. One child went to jail. Not only that, it didn't end there. The parents got a phone call from the police office at 2 a.m. in the morning. Please, are you so and so? Yes, please come and identify your son. What is there to identify? Only the body. Drug overdose. They put him in detox and everything. What do you do? Same family, same living environment, same parents, everything is same. who can control? Can you fault them for that? They did everything they did. Gave the same love to all the children. A heart-wrenching experience. I knew that family. So what went wrong? That's the nature of the world. Good and bad are inseparably intertwined. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga. Samsparshaja means this happiness comes with the context. Sparsha means contact. The object from which you are expecting happiness must be in your possession. If the Ming coat, $15,000 coat is on the other side of the window, inside the shop, you are standing outside looking at it longingly, but you don't have $15,000, you wish, how happy it would be, I would be if I can buy that and put it on my body. You know, except is there, you are there, everything is fine, but it doesn't belong to you. Like that. It has to be, contact must be there. And that contact is not from, either it will leave you or you will have to separate from it. Dukkha yonaya evate. In the end, it only produces disillusionment. Other serious problem with worldly pleasures is adhyantavantaha. Everything has a beginning and an end. Kaunteya, therefore, O Arjuna, nateshu ranate buddhaha. A wise person does not take much. If it comes, it's okay. If it goes, it's okay. Remain detached. If it comes, you by all means enjoy. Nobody is saying no to that. So that balanced view has to be cultivated, studied. Therefore, the injunction is, there is no other path for emancipation. Anya atimrityameti tameva viditva. By knowing the self alone, one achieves, one transcends death. That means all suffering. Nanya pantha vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way for emancipation. Knowing the self. How we know the self? They are different. You don't have to do jnana yoga. Yesterday we saw alternative bhakti yoga. It's very pleasing, interesting. Chant the name of Lord Prasada also will be there. You can enjoy. Bhajans can be sung nicely. That you can follow that. You don't have to follow this to be Chudamani, all these things. There are many paths. You can do karma yoga. Karmana eva hisam siddhim astita janaka dayaha. Janaka and others achieve perfection through karma alone. So karmana tama bhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. Remember, Sri Krishna said, by doing all your karma as worship, you can achieve perfection. Siddhi means moksha. So there are many paths. How you reach is up to you. But you must reach. Get Atma Jnana or Parabhakti. Okay, 25. I have realized this great being who shines effulgent like the sun beyond all darkness. Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam. Effulgent like the sun. In the 11th chapter of the Gita, there is a shloka. Divi Surya Sahasrasya. Look at the first line index. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugavaduthita. I am mentioning that with a particular reason. Gariva Sadrishi Sasyat Bhasastasya Mahatma. Gita is your basic book. Don't give up. Every day study Gita for a few minutes. Become familiar with the shlokas and then reflect on the shlokas. Divi Surya Sahasrasya. Oppenheimer chanted this shloka when the first atomic bomb was exploded. Was it in Los Alamos someplace? The first atomic explosion took place in Kotha.
You used the first line?
Yeah. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugavaduthita Yadiva Sadrishi Sasyat Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha. Gita book somebody bring? Anybody has Gita book? With first line index. Do you have? கொடி நோட் இண்டெக்ஸ் இல்லையா டிவிஜே வருதா பால சந்தோஷ் வேக்லி ரிமெம்பர் ஓகே திஸ் திஸ் ஒன் ஹேஸ் இண்டெக்ஸ் ஓபன்ஹைமர் வாஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் தி சயின்டிஸ்ட் who was responsible for the development of this atomic power. And when the experimental explosion took place, he saw the mushroom cloud and enormous light emanating from that explosion, like thousand suns. This 12th shloka in the 11th chapter says just that. He quoted this shloka. He knew Gita. He knew Gita and the Upanishads, Oppenheimer, famous physicist, scientist. He said this shloka as if thousands of suns have simultaneously arisen in the sky. Surya Sahasra. Not one sun. One sun is so bright we cannot see, we should not see. But if thousand suns are in the sky at the same time, can you imagine the brightness? Impossible to describe. That much is the brightness of the Paramatma. Who said this one? Arjuna, when he sees the Vishwarupa in the 11th chapter, this one Arjuna exclaims, Divi Surya Sarasparasya Bhaved Bhav Yugapat means at the same time, simultaneously. Yugapat Uttita. All the thousands of suns have arisen in the sky at the same time. That much effulgence I cannot bear. Their special eyes were given to Arjuna. With these eyes, he couldn't see that one. This Vishwarupa, that cosmic form that Sri Krishna was revealing. So that's why this 25th shloka says, who shines effulgent like the sun beyond all darkness, beyond the domain of darkness. Darkness means ignorance. All knowledge, all brightness. One passes beyond death, atimrityameti, only on realizing him, tameva viditva, by knowing the Atman alone, we permanently cross the boundary of darkness, ignorance. Otherwise, we will be forever stuck in the world of ignorance. Nanyah pantha vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way of escaping from the cycle of births and deaths. Otherwise, we will be stuck in this endless loop of birth and death and karma, karma phala, suffering a little bit, enjoyment in between. Some good life, some bad life, and they'll be stuck in, they're going round and round in circles without knowing how to exit from this loop. You don't want them. You want freedom. So that is the, so what is to be done? You have to make acquisition or experience of Atmajnana the primary goal of your life. Target the self. You know, target the department store. They have a big red circle and a red dot in the middle. That middle is the bull's eye. That you have to, that is Atman for us. Keep your sight fixed on that target, which is Atman. And there is a nice verse in the Mundaka Upanishad, 26. Om is the bow, the soul is the arrow, Brahman is its target. It is to be hit with an unerring person. One should merge with it, just like an arrow becomes one with the target. It's a very poetic shloka. Pranavo dhanusharo hyatma brahmata lakshya mucchate apramattena vedavyam sharavattanmayo bhavet. When you release the arrow from the bow, what happens to the arrow? The arrow goes and merges in the target towards which it is aimed. The arrow becomes one with the target. The Atman, individual Atman, is the arrow. Sharo hyatma, shara means arrow. Brahma tal lakshan, Brahman is lakshan, means goal, target. Sharavat tanmyo bhavet, like the arrow, the individual soul becomes merged and becomes one with the target or Brahman. Only Brahman remains. If you read this in original, it looks, it is more beautiful. Translation sometimes comes out flat. Pranamo dhanushvaro hyatma brahmatal lakshyam uchyate. Lakshyam means goal or target. Brahman is the target of our life. It is to be hit with an unerring percentage. Our aim must be unerring. You should not aim at something else. You should aim at the target very carefully, like an expert archer, unerringly. If you aim at something else, then you won't be able to reach this intended target. Something else means worldly pleasures. If you aim at getting worldly pleasures, then you will get it. Whatever target you want, you can hit, but you will miss the main target. One should merge with it, just like an arrow. Just like an arrow becomes one with the target. Shall we go to next sloka, 27. Two birds on a tree. This is a very nice imagery. Upanishads sometimes give imageries to illustrate some principle, some point. This imagery is very nice in two slokas, again from Mundaka Upanishad. If you have you been to Ganges, any of you?
Yes,
Ganges Monastery. Have you seen this? There's that stained glass window, huge, 10 foot long, at the entrance to the downstairs auditorium.
Yeah, now I remember.
Yes. What is that picture depicted in the stainless window?
Yeah.
There is a tree, and there are two birds. One bird in the lower branches with a fruit in its beak, holding the fruit like this. And at the top of the tree, there is another bird, similar bird, sitting quietly, not eating anything. You remember that one?
Mm.
And on the wall, on the left hand side, these two slokas are printed there on a plaque with the translation. Next time when you go, you look for this one. You can't miss that one. When you enter the downstairs auditorium for the retreat, you can look up and see the huge stained glass window depicting this imagery. Very beautiful depiction. So here it says Dva Suparna. Suparna means birds. Sayuja means same type of birds. Sakhaya, friends. Samanam Vriksham, same tree. Paishasvajate, they are perched on the same tree. Two birds are, imagine this imagery. Tayo anya pipalam swadu atti. People are the fruit, people are tree. One bird keeps on eating different fruits in the tree. What happens? Some fruits turn out to be sweet. The bird enjoys, makes a happy face. Oh, very nice. Then it is not satisfied. It wants to eat more sweet fruits. So it hops to the next branch and takes one more fruit. That fruit turns out to be bitter. Then makes grimaces, faces. Oh, this is so bitter. Why did I eat it? I can't throw it out now because I've already eaten half of it. Swallow it and suffer the bitterness. Hoping that next fruit will be sweet. There is always hope. Springs eternal in the human heart. Divorce. Why have one marriage brought only grief, bitter fruit? No, this is not good. Next marriage will be no more. 7 times Elizabeth Taylor married. Each time hoping that next marriage will bring more happiness. Is not necessarily a bad thing. You should not permanently get stuck even with one bad fruit. Next fruit may be sweet, who knows? Next fruit, you cannot tell unless you taste it. How will you know whether next fruit is going to be sweet or bitter? Only by tasting that. Always taste another fruit. The bird keeps on doing it. I am not making it up. This is in the shloka in the Mundaka Upanishad. So here he says, Tayoho Anyaha Piplam Swadu Atti, sweet fruit it eats. Anyaha Anashnan Abhichakashiti. The other bird, Anashnan, doesn't eat anything. I don't want sweet fruit, I don't want bitter fruit. You eat all the fruit you want, but I am going to remain without any fruit. I am happy. I am tired of these fruits. Because there is no way to predict whether the next fruit is going to be sweet or bitter unless you taste it. Once you taste it, you already have the bitter fruit, you can't do anything. You get stuck with that bitter fruit. So that is life. So the tree represents what in this imagery? Tree represents life, human life. And the fruits are various things that worldly objects, experience that we seek, hoping that everything will bring happiness, so everything will be sweet. So with that hope, we reach out for your power. If I become vice president, then I'll be very happy. All day, you strive so hard, work day and night and stress and everything, become vice president, then you say, why did I get into this one? So much stress and responsibility, headache, people don't work, you have to stay up late and you have to travel, you have to be responsible to the board and CEO is sitting on your head. Why did I get into this one? Same realization. Everything is like this. Why you get the feeling, why did I get into this one? I thought this will bring me so much happiness, but I didn't know. Had I known that this would be the case, I would never have tried for this one. Which by the time you are already eating the fruit and you can't do anything, you keep eating it. So Tayoranyaha Abhichara, the other bird, wise bird at the top of the tree. Simply sitting quietly, looking at everything, but not eating anything. No thank you. No thank you for everything. That is Vairagya. No thank you. Somebody offers you position, I am happy in the present position. You take your position if you want, but I am happy, thank you. Offers of enjoyment, offers of happiness, world offers so many things. Offerings of the world are endlessly interesting. Enticing, attractions. You travel, blue sign, attractions. How many attractions world will come? If you stop at every attraction and spend a day or two, when will you reach the destination? You'll be forever pursuing the pleasures of attractions. Okay. Good luck, Upanishad says. The other one, at the top, does not eat any fruit but merely witnesses. Anyaha abhichakashiti. Then, samane vrikshe jivatman purushaha nimadnaha anishaya asochati muhyamanaha jushtam yada pasyati anyamisham Asya mihimanam iti vita shokaha. So read the translation. The other one at the top of the tree does not eat any fruit but merely witnesses. The individual soul, the lower bird, remains drowned, sunk in its own limitations. When it sees the other upper adorable bird and its glory, then it becomes liberated from the sorrow. So the lower bird, hopping from branch to branch in the lower levels of the tree, lower branches of the tree, eating fruits, hoping that next fruit will be sweet, but encountering bitter fruits in between, some sweet and some bitter. If everything is bitter, then there is no eating, it will give up eating. But once in a while you come across sweet fruit, so that keeps the hope alive. Next fruit may be bitter, like this one. So keeps on. When it looks at the upper bird, he seems to be so happy, he is not eating anything. I am eating all these things, I am miserable. What is the secret? So slowly it approaches, goes above, its eating becomes less and less. He must be having the key to happiness, he is not eating anything. But we are so happy and blissful and contented. As the small bird approaches slowly, it discovers that it merges with the upper bird, only one bird remains. Sharavat tanmayo bhavet. So that is the journey of life, spiritual journey. It depicts the spiritual journey on the tree of life. So what we should do? We should emulate the upper bird. The upper bird is not eating anything. He seems to be happy. Eating all these fruits, this happiness interspersed with misery. Which experience will bring me happiness, which will bring me misery, I cannot foretell unless I get the experience. So the, all the promises of happiness that this world promises to deliver, all the happiness, the experience packages, they are like the icebergs. When you look at an iceberg, you see 1/9 of it only.
Yeah.
It appears pleasant, then you reach out for it. When you reach out for the whole iceberg, will come 9/10 of which is problem, hidden nicely. The price tag is hidden nicely, the package appears very attractive, you reach for it, you buy it, when you look at the price tag, oh, why did I get into this one? That should not be. So, be careful what you reach out for, what you aspire for. It's nice imagery, good for imagery.
What would it mean to live an experienceless life? I'm trying to conceive, it basically seems to be saying live a life with no experiences. And I can't conceive what that would be.
Detachment. Key is you can't avoid experience, you can't avoid eating food. But some food makes you sick. So right, avoid those things. And then know beforehand that there is no guaranteed happiness in any experience. You can't live without experience. You have to get a job, you may have to have a family, you have to make some money. Those are inevitable. But don't think of them as sources of happiness. Remain detached. Now, shall we go to the next passage? Katha Upanishad 1.3.3-4 means what?
First chapter, third section, verses 3 and 4.
Okay, you know everything. Very good. These are very important verses. Katha Upanishad 1.3.3 and 4, very oft quoted, very important verses. Make a note of this. Give 2-3 stars to this one. What is the other sloka with 5 stars yesterday?
14.
Passage number 14? 14.
Ultimate source.
Oh, the sun does not shine. Natatra suryo bhati. So this also is somewhat like 4 stars you can give. Good. Atmanam ratinam vidhi shariram ratamevatu buddhim tusarathim vidhi manah pragrahamevacha indriyani hayanahur vishayamsteshu gocharan atma mana buddhi atmaiva. I forgot the last line. Anybody has got Upanishad?
Yes.
Read that whole last line, I forgot. Atmendriya mano yuktam bhokte yahurum manishina. That is the last line. Okay. Anyway, remember. The translation, know the individual self as the master of the chariot. This body and the body as the chariot. This human body is compared to a chariot. Now, what is the purpose of a chariot? It's a vehicle for transportation. It takes us from point A to point B. What is the journey that this body is supposed to help us to achieve? It takes us from where we are to the experience of Brahman. Shariram adyam khalu dharma sadhanam. This is a famous line of the great dramatist Kalidasa. Kalidasa is somewhere in one of his kavyas, he has said, you should pay special importance to the body, don't belittle its importance, because for dharma sadhana, this is sharira, is this means. Without sharira, what can, you can't do japa, meditation, study, nothing can be done. So it's a means, you have to keep it, it's a tool, you have to keep it nicely honed. So, shariram ratham eva tu, sharira is the chariot that helps us to complete the journey. Last line, atmendriya mano yuktam
buddhim
tusaratim vidhi
mana
pragraham eva cha. Then, next line,
indriyani
haya means
horse.
Indriyas, how many indriyas?
5.
Here they say 5.
11.
Actually 11. What are the 11 sense organs?
Karma indriya,
five Janendriyas.
Five
Karmendriyas.
Mind.
11th is the mind. Okay. That comes in the 13th chapter. Indriyani Dashaikam Cha. 13th chapter, Sloka 5 and 6. So here, Shariram Ratha. No, the intellect has the charioteer. Buddhim Tosar. What is the charioteer? Is the one who steers the chariot. Buddhi steers our life. Our buddhi, if it is sattvic, it takes us towards God. If it is rajasic, it takes us towards the world. If it is tamasic, it takes us towards more suffering. So we have to make the buddhi more and more sattvic. So that we will study in the 17th chapter. Know the intellect as a charioteer and the mind as the brilliant. Manaha pragraham. What does the charioteer use to control the horses, steer the horses? The bridle, the lagam. What do you call in Hindi lagam?
Reins.
It is, one end of it is tied to the horse, the other end the charioteer holds. He gives a gentle tug. He gives directions, turn right, turn left, or go forward, or stop. Four directions the horse can be given with the bridle. That is the mind. The intellect uses the mind as the control instrument to steer the body in the desired direction. If the buddhi is sattvic buddhi, it steers the life into the sattvic goal, namely brahmajnana or devotion to God. If the buddhi is rajasic buddhi, it steers the mind and body into worldly enjoyments. If the buddhi is tamasic buddhi, it steers body and mind into the destructive path. So that is the buddhi, the steering function. Know the intellect as the charioteer and the mind as the bridle. The senses are the horses and the sense objects are the roads, the path which we travel. The road to enjoyment, the road to brahmajnana, the road to destruction. The wise people call the self as the enjoyer when it is associated with the body. Atma indriya mano yuktam bhokta iti ahur manishinaha. So this is very interesting verse, good for meditation. This verse and the Barsani tree verse, two verses, and the previous target, this verse, they are all good for meditation verse. Meditation verse. Read it several times, close your eyes and visualize. Lunch break.
28.
How much more material we have? You only have one more session remaining.
Whereas the first four Mahavakyas are not.
That we'll do in the last session. We'll do it briefly because a detailed explanation will take a long time. And but I will give some explanation according to my ability.
We needed six sessions, Maharaj.
Yes.
Monday also.
Let me see, there is something else that I really want to finish before we break. Let us go to 39 on the bottom of page 9. See, today I didn't use the chart at all.
No,
I'm sitting comfortably. Speaking.
We have progressed.
Yes. Okay. 39 on page 9. When the Kathopani story, you know,
yes.
Nachiketayama story, everybody knows, so we don't have to repeat. So Nachiketa insists on getting Atmajnana from Yama. Yama is not ready to give it for two reasons. Why Yama is hesitating? For one reason is Yama wants to make sure that this boy is really serious in his inquiry. Sometimes people ask questions to just show off or impress. Is he doing that or is he really seeking the knowledge that he wanted to make sure? Second thing is, if the answer is really given, is he capable of understanding it? He is still a young boy. So to clarify for himself these two things, he gives alternatives. Why are you asking about death? What happens? You are still a young boy, long time is there for you to worry about death. I'll give you a large kingdom, I'll give you a lot of wealth, queen, horses and chariots and treasury and music and dance and everything. Nachiketa steadfastly refuses all of those things. No, thank you. You keep it for yourself, he says. When I read this passage, I wonder at the strength of this little boy facing the Lord of Death, Yama. If you see the Lord of Death, we will not be standing, we will run away. Fear. So fearsome. But he's standing there very boldly, insisting that he wants knowledge of the self from Yama. Look at this courage and the renunciation of the strength of this little boy, Nachiketa. You read Nachiketa's story, it is a thrilling story. And we are his descendants, don't forget that. The blood that flowed in Nachiketa's body is flowing in our body. We should be so proud and grateful of that infinitely rich heritage we have inherited. And we should be worthy of that. We should live in a way that we are worthy of that one. Nachiketa's descendants we are. So what does Nachiketa say? Nachiketa to Yama. Yama offers all these things, chariot and horses and music and dance and everything. He says, oh Yama, ephemeral are these enjoyments. Martyasya yadantaka etat. This all, yantaka means, oh Yama, Svobhava, all of these are temporary. Today it is there, tomorrow it is not there. Swami is tomorrow. Everything is like that. We are here nicely enjoying nice environment, spiritual environment, studying everything, laughing. Tomorrow what happens, nobody can tell. You hope everything will be alright. Svobhava, murtyasya, dantayita. Ephemeral, the waste away, the vigor of all the senses. He talks about sensory pleasures, food and clothing and enjoyment and other kinds of enjoyment, lust, satisfying lust and greed. What happens? In a very short, they will deplete the senses, sense organs. If you keep on eating all pizza and chocolate cake and ice cream and Mysore pak and everything every day, very soon we will be unable to eat anything. Because the sense organs will lose their power to enjoy very quickly. Sukhata kriyate rama bhogah paschadhanta sharire rogah. Shankaracharya says in Bhajagovinda Stotra. Today we gladly, happily, with abandon we enjoy all the pleasures of life. Tomorrow we discover, oh, I'm stuck with this. We don't want to do that. We have to wake up. Savindriyanam jaravanti jarayanti tejaha. Indriyanam tejaha, the acuity of the sense organs, servant of all the sense organs, jarayanti, they become depleted, they become old. This is exactly what happened to the king Yayati. Have you heard Yayati story?
Yes.
You have heard?
Yes.
Yayati, how much he enjoyed?
Mm-hmm.
1.5 lifetimes.
Yep.
But what happened? Even after that, the desires didn't go, they remained as strong as they were at the beginning of the first year. So that we don't want to become like Yayati, wasting a lot of time. Sarvendriyanam jariyanti tejaha. Second thing Nachiketa says, api sarvam jevitam alpameva. No matter how, Yama says, I'll give you long lifespan. No matter how long a lifespan you give, someday I have to die.
Yep.
Someday still old age will come, death will come.
Yes.
So whether it has come tomorrow or 10 years later or 3 months later, someday death is inevitable. So that's finite, limited in time. Adhyantamantaha, Kaunteya, Nateshwaramate Buddha, Krishna said in the Gita. So Nachiketa was a Buddha, Buddhiman. He says, I am not interested in this temporary ephemeral things. Give it to those who are hankering for this. He says, Tavai Babahas, Tavandriti. Can you imagine the courage and temerity of this little boy who says to Yama on his face, you keep all these chariots and horses and music and dance. Tavai Vavaha Stavundrati Gita. Can anybody say like that to Yama? In an ordinary boy, could have grabbed all this and run away. Thank you, he would say like that. Long life and queen and horses and chariots and everything, music, dance and everything. You will, oh, very happy, thank you very much, give me long life, I will come back later. Don't, like that. But not Nachiketa. Nachiketa is very symbol and personification of courage, strength and renunciation. Most ideal personality. So, Tavaiva Vaha Savadritya Gita. Maybe tena tarpani yo manushya, and underline it twice. He says, all life is short indeed. Let the chariots and dancers and music be yours alone. Man is not to be satisfied with wealth. That is the insight that little boy Nachiketa had. No matter how much wealth you give to a person, do you think he'll be satisfied? He always wants more. Navitena tarpaniyo manushyaha. This is what exactly the conversation between Yajnavalkya and Maitreya. He also says this in Amritatvasya na shasti vittena. Yajnavalkya says to Maitreya. Vittena, by wealth, Amritatvasya asha nasti. There is no hope of getting Amritatva immortality. There is a different thing. Navitena trappaniyo manushyaha lapsyamahe vittamadrakshmat chetva jivishyamo yavadishyasitvam yavadishishyasitvam tvam varastume varaniyasa eva saiva varaha, that boon alone which I asked you, saiva varaniya, that alone I want. I am not going to be enticed by this, attracted by this offerings of music and then give it to the, keep it for yourself, he says. Can you imagine the boy saying to Yama, keep it for yourself, I don't want, thank you, give me Brahma Jnana. That is the kind of heritage we have inherited. That is the strength that Vedanta gives. When Swami Vivekananda was traveling in Europe, he happened to meet a duke of some province in France. And the duke was a young man. He became interested in what Swamiji was talking about. And in course of conversation, the duke asked Swamiji, if you are talking about Vedanta, all these things, supposing I become your disciple and practice Vedanta, as you say, what benefit will I get? We have to know that. You ask the right question. What benefit will I get? The duke asked Swamiji. Swamiji said, if you become my disciple and practice Vedanta as I tell you to, you will lose all fear of death. When death comes, you will be walking away with a smile on your face with no trace of fear in your heart. You want to do that? The duke didn't agree. It didn't interest him. He went away. Vedanta confers immortality. This boy was not afraid of death. He says, I want Brahma Jnana, which alone confers immortality, eternal peace and bliss. There is nothing higher than that. So Vedanta aims very high. He is not satisfied with the mere pleasures of the world, which come and go. When they are there, you are enjoying, you are happy, you enjoy, but next moment they will bring you grief. When they leave, they will make you disillusioned, unhappy. Even if they don't cause grief, when they leave as they are supposed to, or as they are bound to, or I may have to leave with them. They will tell you how in a moment things can change, in a moment things can change, twinkling of an eye. Shankaracharya says, Ma kuru dhana dana dhana jana yavana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam maya mayamidam akhilam hitva brahma padam tvam pravisha viditva. Ma kuru, don't do dhana jana yavana garvam, don't become proud of wealth and influence and youth and other things. Nimeshat kalaha sarvam harati. Nimesha mentioned the twinkling of an eye. Kalaha sarvam harati. Everything can be taken away from you. Doesn't take long. There is an incident that happened to a friend of mine, fairly close friend of mine. We used to work together many years ago in India before we came here. Then we came here. I came in 1970, he came in 71. he went to graduate school in somewhere in the South Alabama, Birmingham, someplace, University of Alabama, I don't know where he went. He did his PhD in paper technology. I went to Pittsburgh. And we sort of knew where the other was, but we didn't, were not in close contact. I knew where he was and he knew where he was, and so we pursued our paths. And about 10 years ago, I got the news. He finished his PhD, he was a very successful, brilliant engineer, chemical engineer, brilliant guy. He got a job with a paper company, and then he married. Before he came here, he married a very nice wife and got two boys, two little children, 8-10 years old, preteens. Everything was fine. The routine was every morning the wife would get up and prepare the children to school, prepare a breakfast, and she would drive all the three people, husband and two boys, the first to the factory, leave the husband there at the factory, and then drive the children to school, leave them there and come back home, and evening she would pick them up. So one morning she went, everything went normal, everything is fine, no problem, loving family, loving children, husband, wife, very harmonious. She left the husband at the factory gate and then turned right to go to the school from the gate. From the left side, a huge truck came and struck the car and all the three people died. The man has not even reached his office from the gate. What a shocking thing happened like this. In a moment, whole situation changed, unpredictable. It has been again, of course, he gathered. You see, he bounced back from it, but it took a long time. It can happen. I'm not saying it will happen to everybody. It may not happen, but if it happens, it happens. When it happens to whom, there's no way to foretell. It's not a very discouraging negative picture. Generally things 99% of the time it goes on nicely, beautifully. But if it happens, it happens. Harati nime shat kalas. Therefore, Nachiketa didn't accept any of these things. All this kingdom and wealth and the dance and music and queen and treasury and Mahmud Mabumir Mahadavitanam Murnishwayamasa. It'll be a large territory of kingdom for you too. Be the king of. No, thank you. They will go away in a moment. Or even if they are with me, it does not give lasting peace and joy. I will become old. Jati became old and unable to enjoy. Everything was there intact. All the objects were there, kingdom was there intact, but he became old and couldn't enjoy. Or he may be intact and things may be taken away. One way or another, separation is bound to come. Adyantamanta Kaunteya. Therefore, Nateshwara Mate Buddha, a wise person seeks something that is more enjoyable, that is something that guarantees unlimited, unconditional, infinite, eternal, undiminishing peace and joy. That's what we want. So in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna says, aim very high. Don't settle for small things of life. This is a small view, this is a narrow view. Today's happiness, pleasure, oh, this is enough for me. No. It appears like that, but tomorrow you. So, what does he say? 622, look at this. Yam labdva cha param labham manyate nadhikam tataha. Must be 622. Yasmin stito nadukhina. That shloka is very important. Chapter 6, shloka 22. Our aim must be high. Vedanta says, don't aim at a small thing. Aim very high. Look for happiness. Vedanta says, look for happiness. Don't suffer. Don't be miserable. But keep your aim very high. Look for permanent happiness. That happiness, there is nothing greater than that. Yam labdva, by gaining which, tataha adhikam navidyate abham navidyate. There is nothing higher than that. Why settle for small thing? Which comes and goes, and a little bit pleasure it gives, tomorrow it gives pain also. We don't know what happens. But go for that. aim for, you want happiness, aim for the highest happiness. Tataha adhikam labham anyaha navidyate, anyaha labha navidyate. Greater than that, there is no other greater joy. That kind of highest kind of joy, you get that one, aim for that one. And what kind of joy? Yasmin sthito, being established in which? Gurunapi dukhena navichalyate. Even by the greatest calamity will not shake you a little bit, will not perturb you. You remain totally unperturbed by the severest of calamities. So powerful, so strong, that no calamity, no matter how great, has the least power to affect you or shake you, perturb you. Aim for that. That's Vedantic view. Okay? Very important shloka, 622. So, I think we read Nachiketa. We have to do the four Mahavakyas and then the last page, austerity, chastity and faith, preparation for meditation, Brahman, a few passages we'll do in the evening. It's almost 12:20. Stop here. Closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। ओम शांति 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 ही। ओम मे ऑल बी हैप्पी, मे ऑल बी फ्री फ्रॉम डिस्ट्रेस, मे ऑल रियलाइज व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस, मे नो वन बी सब्जेक्ट टू मिजरी। ओम पीस, मे देयर बी पीस एंड जॉय इन अवर हार्ट्स, मे देयर बी पीस एंड हार्मनी अमंगस्ट ऑल बीइंग्स, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.